so I just got back from America, from a visit to my relatives, which was a beautiful visit with simchot and weddings and all that. I came back yesterday. I was speaking to a member of the community here, and I was spent some time in Lakewood. Has anybody ever been to Lakewood? So you never been to Lakewood?
I've been to Lakewood.
Lakewood is. It was built basically. You know where Lakewood is. Lakewood is a community built, right? Built on the yeshiva many years ago, started by Rav Aaron Cutler, and it morphed into this absolutely enormous yeshiva, thousands of students. You know, the largest yeshiva in America, and because of that, like the community sort of expanded. So since I was there last time, my sister lives there. It's just exploded. I mean, you have these huge, huge communities of I'm looking for the word, of like housing projects, not just projects. I brought some. Okay, huge communities of like, you know what I'm saying, of subdivisions of only religious Jews. You know, and they named the streets, you know, Kelm Street and like Slobodka Avenue. You know what I'm saying? Like, very nice and very comfortable for them. And I just kind of like, I don't know, you know me, I'm like Mr. Rabbi Zionist, I got depressed. Like, the whole thing made me very depressed, because here you have this huge community of Torah Jews building this incredible religious life, but they're doing it in Lincoln, New Jersey. And it was just very depressing to me. And so, especially in light of last week, so I came back and I saw Bobby Rosenberg here, and he's like, he had just spent some time, and you know, his wife's, I think, mother passed away, I don't remember. And he said he doesn't like it there. And I said, I don't like it there. Like, not that there's nothing wrong with it. I said, but you know, when you open your mouth, like vis-a-vis like Eretz Yisrael, like, as soon as you say anything, you're like the rabid, you know, Meshuggah the Zionist. You know what I'm saying, Shira? You know what I mean? Like, you can't say anything now. Well, you're okay. You're a Zionist. You know what I mean? Like, and
that's
it just...
The point is, that's bad.
What do you mean?
That's bad as far as they're concerned.
See, they don't want to hear it. It's not that that's bad. It's that they don't want to hear it. And it just, the more and more, like, I interact, like, if it's sitting there, it just seems to me, okay, fine, like, you know, let's not just choose, like, there are certain topics that every family chooses not to talk about, you know?
Don't you think they send their kids and all the, like, newly married couples are coming here? Like, there is, like, sort of an idea.
But they come here with the idea that they're going back.
No, they're not coming here, like, they're not coming here, like, this is the place. It's like, when you come, it's like a very, the year in Israel is like an interesting cultural experience for most kids. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying there are a few schools that are like push Aliyah or like, you know what I'm saying? But that you think they, no, I don't. Even if you come here to learn, you're coming here to learn, you know, because it's a place where you can learn for a few years before you go back and start your life for real. But it's not really like a real place. You know what I'm saying? You're living like in Yerushalayim somewhere, whatever. And it just dawns on me more and more that we just speak a different language. You know what I'm saying? We have one set of language. We have one set of ideals, set of values. And that Orthodox Jews, religious Jews, even Zionist Jews, they're speaking a very different language than we are. And
but it's literal.
I find it depressing. I really find it depressing. We'll learn today, and I'll give you an example. And I'll show you that this is something that's not new, that's kind of old. You know what I'm saying? Well, you know why? You know why? Right, because the ones that did say that, well, you know what they did? Right, and so what's left? You know what I'm saying? It's just a bit, more and more, just the few interactions that I had were more and more depressing to me. And I don't know what the answer is. I really don't know what the answer is. And we'll soon see that. This is, it's Ma'amish in the beginning, Parashat Vayera. Very important. You know, like, it's obvious, it's from the Midrashim, from the Mefarshim. I think this dichotomy, this split, it's hidden in the language itself. Okay? As we all know from the night of Pesach, how many cups are there in Pesach?
Four.
Why are there four cups? Right, that's what this is, Parsha. Okay? We're going to find them, and we're going to discuss them. Okay? So at the very end of Parsha Shemot, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, why'd you send me? That's not mine, is it?
Mm-mm.
It's yours? You brought it?
No. Very holy aunt.
You brought him, you take him home. Okay.
You don't think I brought him.
Well, then you can leave him here. Okay. So Moshe Rabbeinu is complaining to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why did you send me? You know, you shouldn't have sent me at all. It's not worth it. Okay, so Hashem says, you know, it was a mistake. It's a failure. I'm a failure. And by the way, what's interesting mostly about this is, what did Hashem say to Moshe would happen before? When you go to Paro? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said? And?
He hardened his heart.
No, right. It's interesting. Hashem said to Moshe, go to Paro, and he's not going to send you away, and it's going to be bad. And so when Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Paro, and if Paro doesn't listen, it makes it worse, what does Moshe say? He doesn't say, oh, you were right, your plan is working. He says, why'd you send me? You know what I'm saying? Which is just unusual. You would think that he would, you know, that God said, I said it was going to be bad. Okay, anyway. God said to Moshe. So that obviously the language of Shem Hashem is important. Elohim, which is the language of, we're in the beginning of Shemot of Va'era, Perak Vav Pasuk Pe. Okay, Elohim came to Moshe and said, Ani Hashem, I am Yud Hei Vav Hei. What's the difference between Elohim and Hashem? Just on a very superficial level, Elohim is? What? God of Din. Yud Hei Vav Hei? Racham. Very good. Va'era, we've done this in weeks past, years past. Va'era, El Avraham, El Yitzchak, El Yaakov, Be'El Shaddai. So I appeared to Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov as El Shaddai, Ushmi Hashem, and my name, Yud Hei, Vav Hei, Lo Nodati Lehem. I did not make known to them. It doesn't mean that God didn't appear as, or God didn't function as, but Lo Nodati Lehem, I didn't make known to them. Okay, and what is the difference in El Shaddai and Yud Hei, Vav Hei? So you look at the Mefarshim, God explicit, miraculous, there are different interpretations, different approaches. So therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu says that the God that you've known until now, it's different. All things are going to be different.
Do you mean in terms of like subtle miracles versus obvious miracles?
Yes, yes. Some of Farshim say that it's Yad Shmi Hashem, right? Yud Hei Vav Hei is God of Kochi Ve'Otzem Yadi, right? That in the other way, El Shaddai is the God that runs the world in a sort of hidden way, in Nistar in a way. Not Nistar in you know, God, the world functions without God, the world wouldn't function at all. But is there overt presence of God or covert presence of God? So I never showed them my overt presence. It was always subtle, hidden, nature, natural.
You mean,
yeah, that's
like,
one interpretation.
Like
no, Yitzchak is a great example. I mean, well, you mean come specifically to Abraham Avinu? God spoke to them, but he didn't through miracles. Meaning like Kriyat Yam Suf, God reveals himself to the world. Like Har Sinai, God reveals himself to the world. Okay? That's one interpretation of what it means, Yud-Heh, of El Shaddai, etc., etc. Begam, Hakimoti et Briti Itam, Latet Lahem et Eretz Kenan, et Eretz Migurehem Asher Garuba. And I will uphold, fulfill my covenant, to give them the land of Canaan that I promised to them, the land of their sojourning that they dwelled in. So it all starts, by the way, what's the... Right, it's the very beginning. Before God even says to Moshe the promises, like this is inherent in the deal, in the redemption. The redemption, Hashem even says to Moshe Rabbeinu in Parashat Shemot twice, that I will bring them to the land, and he calls it specifically, Eretz Zavat Chalav Udavash. That this is one of the goals of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, is Eretz Zavat Chalav Udavash. Vegam. That's okay. Ani shamati et na'akat b'nei Yisrael Hashem Mitzrayim ma'abidim otam. I have heard the na'aka, the
groan cry
of the Bnei Israel, that Egypt is ma'abidim otam, subjugating them, va'eskorek priti. And I remember my covenant. Lachen, therefore, emor li Bnei Israel ani Hashem. Say to the Jewish people, I am Hashem, yud he vav he. Okay? V'hotzeiti etchem mitachas iblot mitzoyim. And I will take them out, l'hotzi, to remove them from under the sevel. What's sevel? Suffering of Mitzrayim. V'hitzalti etchem me'avodatam. And I will save them from their worship. V'ga'alti etchem bizra netuya u'bishvatim gedolim. V'ga'alti.
Redeem.
Right, it means I redeem, but the vav is a vav ha'ipuch. I will redeem them with an outstretched hand. U'bishvatim gedolim. With big? Shvatim. Tribe. That's Shvatim with a bet. Shvatim with shofet. With a pay. Shvatim gedolim? Great judgments. How do they translate it? He says judgments? Okay. Shvatim Gedolim. Okay, what does it mean? What does it mean, great judgments? I will redeem them. Outstretched hand, I know. What are great judgments?
Shvatim. Judgments on the
mitzvah? Sounds like it. Right. Punishments, okay? I think that's what it means. Okay. V'lakachti etchem li la'am. V'hayiti lachem le'elohim. I will take you for me as a nation, and I will be to you as a God. V'yidatem ki ani Hashem Elokechem hamotzi etchem mitachat sivlot Mitzrayim. And you will know that I am Hashem your God who takes you out from under the sivlot Mitzrayim. Mitachat sivlot Mitzrayim. Where have we seen that phrase before?
Just before
Sevel. That's right. Hotzeiti etchem mitachat sivlot Mitzrayim. That language, it's interesting, appears. You notice it now? Mm-hmm. See it twice. I am God. I will take you out. And then you will know that I am God that is taking you out of Sivlot Mitzrayim. Ve'hivetchi etchem el ha'aretz asher nasati atadi latet otah la'Avraham li'Yitzchak li'Yaakov. And I will bring you to the land which I have raised up my hand to give it to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Ve'natati otah lachem morasha ani Hashem. And I will give it to you as a morasha, a summer camp. I am God. Right. I am God. Okay? Don't look at the Mefarshim. See if you can do it without looking at the Mefarshim. You're already going there. I see. What are the four languages of redemption?
Hotzeiti,
Ga'alti. Hotzeiti. Ga'alti. One second. Let's write them down.
It's going in order.
It's interesting, yeah?
Hotzeiti.
Good.
Ga'alti.
Where are you? What pasuk? Ga'alti. You skip Hitzalti.
Oh, right.
Okay. Hotzeiti. Hitzalti. Ga'alti.
Heveiti.
Ve'heveiti.
Ve'lakachti.
Ve'yidatem is not...
No, that's not...
That doesn't count.
Yeah.
Okay, good. What are the four Lashonot of Geula? This worked out perfectly. Sometimes when you're teaching something and you're like baiting, you know what I mean? You're trying to bait the class. Like, they just don't bite.
They don't
problem. But this one is easy. Right, why is this one easy? You got five. How many did you list? Hotzeiti, Hitzalti, Ga'alti, Lakachti, Ve'heveiti. Correct. So why are there only four?
Because some would argue that...
Ah! 1 second. Everybody understand what I'm trying to imply, what I wanted to... I started with was not just sort of off the cuff. It's inherent in the history of the Jewish people. Is this... What is Geula?
It's only inherent because you have a Haggadah. If you didn't have a Haggadah and you read these psukim, you wouldn't have any problem with it.
No, 1 second. The Haggadah is based on what?
On the psukim.
No. The Haggadah is all based upon?
Torah Shebaal Peh.
It's the Gemara. Okay? So if you look in the Gemara, what are you going to find?
Four.
It says four explicitly. Chazal designed the Seder, and they designed four.
I'm saying, there's no inherent concept in the psukim.
What external factors
would you be referring to?
Yeah,
the oral tradition.
You know, that sticky little piece of oral tradition. You know.
You wouldn't have, if you just read these stukim, nothing stands out as being wrong.
Oh, nothing's wrong. Correct.
To resolve something as a conflict with... I thought
it's the Haggadah, but you're saying it's from the Gemara. The Haggadah is the Gemara. Haggadah is Chazal. Why did Chazal choose four?
Okay,
so let me ask you this question before we even get to that. What is Geula?
Wait, so the Talmud Bavli was not written in Eretz Yisrael.
Right, but the Yerushalmi also has. It's a Mishnah.
I'm just
nice
saying,
try. I tried that too. I thought
I'm
that
just
too.
Saying at the time when the Gemara was written, they were not in Israel.
It's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says there are four kosot. You know what I'm saying? So if in the Mishnah was well before Galut, the Jews were in Eretz Yisrael. So like you want to go there and say you'd have in order to do that you'd have to say that there are two, like the Bavli and the Yerushalmi have different versions of the Pesach Seder, which there were clearly were different versions of the Pesach Seder in Eretz Yisrael. The Pesach Seder was surrounding. Well, Eretz Yisrael, the Pesach Seder surrounded Korban Pesach.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And Babel, you can have a Korban Pesach, so it's all around the Matzah. Right? Our Seder is a Galut Seder.
So we should change it?
Of course we should change it. You don't think so?
But we have to have a Pesach.
Correct. Right. The change we have is to have a Korban Pesach. No Korban Pesach, can't change it. One second, I just to find the right Mishnah. It's clear that there are four kosot. Let me see if I can find the right Mishnah. Yeah, it's warm for you? Yeah, go ahead. You wanna? Well, you guys, both of you have your hands free. Can you get it? No problem.
Here.
There's a shelet.
Oh.
You see it? Just press red. Okay? So the question is like this. It's a mission. The question is, why are there four? What is Ge'ula? Define Ge'ula. What is Ge'ula?
Redemption.
Redemption. Define redemption.
Spiritual, physical.
What?
Spiritual or physical.
Yes.
Spiritual redemption is when we're turning and we recognize Hashem in all of His glory and we
okay.
live accordingly.
Okay.
Physical is when we, having done the spirit, physical is returning to the land of Israel.
You understand the thorniness of the question?
What's the definition? There's no denotation of the word anymore. Meaning there's no literal meaning of the word anymore because it's so full of
Ge'ula, I mean, but when were the Jewish people, when was the redemption complete? Actually, the Ramban himself is a problem. The Ramban makes it a problem. I think I mentioned this last week at the beginning, the Hakdama of the Ramban. The Ramban says, Shemot is Sefer HaGe'ula. Okay? How does Sefer HaGe'ula end? What is the ending of the book of Shemot? What happens at the very end of the book of Shemot? Right, the building of the Mishkan and the entering into the, you know, one second. Here he says it.
Okay.
He says the following. Okay, the Ramban says, I'm just reading the Hagdama of the Ramban. He says, Galut eino nishlam. The Galut is not completed. Ad yom shuvam el mekomam, until the time that they return to their place. Vel ma'alat avotam yashuvu. And they return to the high, the lofty goals, the lofty, exalted place. Come on here, Vihine, right there. Okay? Yeah, okay. And then the ma'alat of their forefathers. Ukshiyasumi mitzrayim, and when they left Egypt, avapishiyetz umibet avadim, even though they left their slavery, adayin yechashavu golim. They were still in exile. They were wandering around the desert. But when they came to Har Sinai, they made the Mishkan. Right, and God returned into their midst. Then they returned to the ma'ala of their forefathers. Shayasod Eloha Ale Alehem. Mehem Hem Hamer Kava. Va'az Nechshavu Geulim. When Hashem entered the Mishkan and the Shechinah dwelled, when the book of Shemot ends, that the clouds of glory entered into the Mishkan. He says that's the end of the book of Geula. And that's why he says the book ends, the book of Geula ends. But for us, that's a problem. We have to acknowledge, why is that a problem for us pseudo-radical Zionists? Like us rabbis. Right! What do you mean the Geula is over? The Geula is... Right, they started the Geula, they have the Mishkan, but what happens if HaKadosh Baruch Hu built the Mishkan in? Oh, I don't know, Lakewood, New Jersey. You know what I'm saying? So then, I started with the rant on Lakewood. So, okay, then, what?
Why is it a contradiction?
Yeah,
because by making Aliyah, by coming back here, you're taking steps towards that process.
You don't need it, it's not necessary for it. So we're back to our question. Is Veheveti Etchem El Haaretz one of the four Lashonot of Geula or not?
Yes. Depends if you live in Lakewood or not.
I baited you. I started that. We pick five. Why do they choose four and not five? Okay, so now let's look a little more carefully at the language.
Maybe because of that Sefer Shemot ends not yet in Eretz Yisrael.
Why not? Why? Because we didn't get there?
The whole generation didn't get there. They weren't worthy.
Oh, right. You raised another question. What's the other question?
Those that live.
No. One second. These are, God says, so says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the Jewish people, Moshe. Moshe, tell the Jewish people, this I swear to you. Right? What's my oath to you? I will take you out from the suffering of Egypt. I will save you. I will take you out as a nation. I will bring you to the Aretz. Okay? Except, Karen, what? Not you. My bad. What do you mean? Like, what happens to the divine oath? How do you get out of God when Welch?
Which is, I'll make you an
What is, it's very nice to say that, but you don't see that.
By
the way, there, did God say, if you guys behave, and if you listen, and if you worship me, then I will redeem you?
No, however, there is, it's implicit that if...
It is?
Yeah, I think so.
I think a promise to you and a promise to your kids could still be the same.
Ah, so okay, you're one second. We have two separate answers. Very good. One possible answer is, of course God promised it, but he only promised it if you deserve it. How do you feel like your kids do that when you say to them, I'll buy you ice cream? Well, your mom, you promised to buy me ice cream, but you were good. You didn't say that. You know, that's not fair.
But he promised it to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov.
It's implied.
If you go back, he promised it to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov.
Yeah.
Their descendants.
No. I veveti.
It says I.
Etchem. What's etchem? You. See, we're talking about this. So one answer you say. So that's one answer. One answer is, I veveti etchem, if. Another answer is, what's the other answer, possible answer? It's not you, you. It's. The proverbial you, it's all of you.
Yeah, because you could also say, well, according to the Midrash, only 1/5 of them, Bichlal, left Egypt.
Right.
So you could say, well, there you go again. God, you know, broke his, you know, he doesn't say, I'm going to only take some of you out.
And he just forced them on, literally forced them to come.
No, meaning that this whole etchem here is
I'll buy that. Very good. Very good. Yeah, right. You mean, if you want to be so literal, then nothing
correct,
works.
Then nothing,
nothing
works.
Okay.
I'll make you into la'am, meaning it becomes more or less personal. I'll make you.
Yeah.
I'm Yisrael.
Etchem.
Yisrael.
Okay.
That's not you. It's.
So let's look. I think the four lashonot of Geula, interestingly, is in the text, meaning why they picked those four. It's actually a huge debate about which of the four are the four. And the debate, of course, hinges upon the question of, is Veheveti one of the four or not? Okay, so let's look at it again. Let's just list them. Hotzeti, we all acknowledge Hotzeti is one. Mm-hmm. Hitzalti, two. No, you don't like Hitzalti? Or it's giving me a look.
Hotzeti and Hitzalti, it's like almost, it's like...
Wait, Hotzeti? Now, because, look at the language. Hotzeti etchem, I was me. Remember, look at the Hebrew. I will do something, me, from this. Mitachat sivla mitzvayim. Hitzalti etchem...
Same thing.
You're suffering because you're...
The whole thing is literary. The whole thing is Lishonot of Geula.
But Hitzalti...
You're the... One second. This is you. You're a literary person.
So that's what I'm saying. There's this...
You want to say that's a double?
One of them is superfluous. Hitzalti or Hotzeti.
I think Hitzalti is superfluous because obviously if you're taking out, they're not doing their work anymore.
Exactly. And the seven is the Avodah.
What do you do with the next one? V'ga'alti etchem bezura netuya v'shvatim.
That's a level of
psychology. Hotzeti and Hitzalti are not?
No.
Come on.
Because Ga'alti has that level of spiritual.
So you're blown off in Hitzalti?
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Yeah,
like, if you give me four, I'll take that.
Because the Hitzalti is—it's already. See, it's not even in chronological order.
Yeah, I agree.
Because before you leave, you've already stopped working.
Ah, so you asked a very good question. Hotzeti etchem. What does that mean? Hotzeti etchem.
I will take you out.
From.
The seven.
No, it doesn't say Hotzeti etchem in Mitzrayim. Mitachat sivlot Mitzrayim. So now we have to figure out. So we even have to figure out. We don't even know, ironically enough, what these words mean. We know what they physically mean, literally. We know what they literally mean. What does it mean? What did God say? I will do A, B, C, and D. I will mitachat sivlot mitzrayim.
The suffering of Egypt.
Okay, I will end the suffering. Meaning, what does it sound like to you?
You could stay in Mitzrayim, but the suffering will stop.
Which means you're not slaves anymore.
No. Really? Does it mean you're not sevel? It means you're not a slave anymore?
To be a slave equals to suffer.
No.
I don't think they were suffering under Yosef, like, before.
To be a slave implies suffering?
Yeah.
Really?
Have you ever found a slave who enjoyed themselves?
Yosef was... All the South Africans are laughing knowingly, and all the Americans are looking at them horribly. Just horribly.
My mother as well.
What?
My
Motherhood. Yeah, I'm not going there. But no, I'm serious. That this idea, of course, it's not ideal in the ideological sense, and I don't want to take it the wrong way. But exactly like you said, there's a certain, you know what I'm saying? Yosef was an Eved in Beit Potiphar. There's a certain...
Not everyone was being whipped.
Correct. That's correct. There's indenture. There's servitude. Exactly right. That's exactly my point. There's servitude, and then there's, you know, being treated as subhuman servitude. Mm-hmm. So they're not the same thing.
But you also have to look at what Mitzrayim means. It's not only a place. So you could be suffering in Mitzrayim.
You're machshavaing now. I know what you mean. You have to explain to me what you mean by that, though. Like, you know,
Mitzrayim is like the constriction of Hashem's manifestation.
Correct.
So, you could be suffering in your internet addiction or whatever it is. I'm just saying,
that's true, but you're getting very drishy, which is very nice. But it's not. We're talking about Jews literally in Egypt. You know what I'm saying? So I want to figure out what God promised him to do. Okay, what is Vehoteiti? What is the, so? Let's say what is Vehoteiti? Okay. So Rash says Seforno. Vehotzi. Let's look at this morning. Just you have to look at some of the Pashtanim. You know what I'm saying? The Drash is not going to help you. You want to know what is each one? Seforno. Miyom hatchalat hamakot yishkot hashibud. Okay? When the makot begin, so what is a hotzeiti? The hotzeiti is, and this class is expanded by leaps and bounds. Okay?
So much like
Yossi. What? I'm boosting my attendance unbelievably. You guys are doing great. Okay. So, hotzeiti means, it doesn't mean literal. So what's it's very interesting. Hotzeiti, you would think is literal. It's not literal. It's figurative hotzeiti, right? I will take you out from under the shibud mitzrayim, meaning I will end the slavery. And when did the slavery end? When the plagues began. Why?
They
couldn't force you to do anything. You know what I'm saying? They were just everything. All bets.
They didn't go back to work in between the plagues.
I don't know. Do you? I mean.
Why would they
say, I think, by the way, I think there were different kinds of slaves and different levels of slaves. I think every Egyptian had his Jewish slave, you know, the maid, the butler, the whatever. In addition, the king had, you know, cadres of, right, the heavy laborers, masses of slaves. You know what I'm saying?
What was the time lapse from the beginning of the plague?
1 year. Right. Total 1 year, from the beginning to the end. Okay.
So the question is that if they were...
Like a plague of month or something.
Claim that from the beginning of the plagues, they weren't slaves.
Plague of the month. This month's plague is. I'm sorry.
If the plagues had started and they didn't have control over them anymore, why didn't they just leave at the beginning?
Moshe didn't take them out.
They also weren't buying into the whole thing.
You have to remember also, this is a Pesach year more. Oh, right. Slavery is a way of being. It's a mentality. It's a way of life. You are a slave. What? Yes, you could open the door and say, you guys can go. Where am I going to go? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Why would I leave? You
just saw last night on the History Channel, like a thing about the end of World War II.
Right.
And you look at them, and they stayed in the camps.
Where are they going to go? So somebody takes them out. Somebody literally redeems you. Somebody pulls you out of the, you know what I'm saying? It's all you know, in a sense. And that's part of our beginning discussion also. When you're in a certain mentality, something has to pull you out of it, and unless something pulls you out of it, you're just going to think that that's the way it's supposed to be.
That's why Jews make Aliyah when they're in a country where they're...
Usually, right, when their country kicks them out, right? The Western Aliyah is very, very unusual. You know what I'm saying? Very, very unusual, which is why it's so small. Okay, next one, V'hitzalti. Okay, Hitzalti, what does Sforno say? B'yom ra'amses shetetzu migvulam. The Hitzalti, the salvation, is when they actually physically leave. So it's so interesting. He is stuck with the same problem we have. Isn't it seem backwards? So what you have to do is re-understand each word. Behotzeiti isn't literally behotzeiti. Behotzeiti is figurative behotzeiti. When is the Hitzalti? When will I save you? When you leave the borders, when you cross over the borders. Ve'ga'alti b'tviyatiyam mitzrim b'yam. When is the actual redemption?
When the mitzrim
are dead. Okay? Kemosha Amru, as it says, Vayosha Hashem Bayom Ahu. God saved them on that day. Ki achare mot hamishabdim lohayu od avadim borchim. Right? It's so interesting. They cross the Yamsu, but they're in Egypt. But until the Egyptians are literally dead, they're still considered themselves slaves of the Egyptians. We're still slaves running away. The only time they can no longer be slaves running away is when there's no more master.
It kind of makes sense, though,
when they chase. Yeah, I mean, it all makes sense. Okay? When do I take you as a people? The Ma'amad Har Sinai. Okay? And that, those are the four Lashonot of Geula. Okay? V'yidatem, Gani Hashem, etc., etc. Okay? Amotzi etchem. Okay? Let's go on. This four note continues. V'heveti etchem el ha'aretz. Okay? Ka'asher. This is what he says. Ka'asher titbonenu b'chol zeh. When you understand all of this, tihiyu re'uyim. You will be worthy. She'avi achem el ha'aretz. That I will bring you to the land, ve'etnana lachem, and I will give them to you. What did Forno just do?
He put the t'nai in.
Ah, very good. And that, therefore?
Therefore, Hashem can decide not to.
Very good. Correct. To and therefore, that's why?
Heveti is not one of the...
That's a bonus.
That's right. It's a bonus.
It's a good one.
Right. Plus. You understand? It's four plus. It's not five. Right. Four are... coerced. Four, you don't have a choice. Up to a certain point, Ma'amad Har Sinai, they were forced to get there. But beyond that, all bets are off. If you understand. Now, is the Sforno just making this up because of Pesach? Or can some literary person look in the Chumash and see, and find that for me, and explain that for me and see it?
He's probably getting it from hindsight. Because they didn't go in, we have proof that they erred. They weren't worthy. One of these can't actually come true because they didn't go in. So
therefore,
that is 2020. If had they actually gone straight in,
then it would have been.
Couldn't have said this.
Right.
Well, then we'd have five. Then we'd have five cups on Purim.
They were worthy, so it came true. So they went straight in.
Uh-huh.
I think that maybe if we didn't have this phrase, v'yidatem ki ani Hashem.
Excellent. Say it loud. Everybody listen.
If we didn't have the phrase of v'yidatem ki ani Hashem. In other words, if it would have gone straight from Vilakachi etchem li la'am vayiti lachem la'lokim, okay, v'heveti etchem el ha'aretz.
Very good.
Then you would say it had to be one of the five. But because you have like a little clause in here, avidatem ki ani Hashem elokechem amotzi etchem mitachat tzivot Mitzrayim.
Terrific.
That's
in other words, v'idatem, you have to know. Because you have to come to this knowledge, and I guess whoever didn't by doing chet ha'egel, they didn't get in.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to read you. This is from the Yerushalmi in Pesachim. So he asked me, the Yerushalmi, the Bavli, says, Minayin ledalid kosot. This, and there's a zillion versions of this midrash. Rabbi Yochanan b'shem Rabbi Binaya, k'neged arba geulot. Lachen emol lebnei Yisrael Hashem Hashem, v'hotzeiti, v'lakachti, v'hotzeiti, v'hitzalti, v'gaalti, v'lakachti. These four lishonot. Okay? So, and you're absolutely right. And we're going to see that in Mefarshim as well. And this four note says it too. Let's look at it again. והוצאתי אתכם מתחת זירת מצרים, וגאלתי, הצלתי אתכם מעבודתם, וגאלתי אתכם בזרוע נטויה ובשבטים גדולים, ולקחתי אתכם לי לעם, והייתם לכם אלוקים. Now, what do we have? Something interesting? Now we have, that's what God says, I'll do all those things. And then, וידעתם כי אני השם אלוקיכם המוציא אתכם מתחת זירת מצרים. Now, by the way, how does it sound like? Does it sound like, and you have to? What does it sound like?
Like
and you will. You will understand. You will know. Okay? And then what's the next one? Then? You will know. And that's exactly what the Sforno says. Ka'asher titbonenu b'chol zeh. When you understand all of this, tihiyu re'uyim, then you will be worthy. She'aviyachem ala aretz ve'etnen alachem. Then I will give it to you. Which implies, as we started out by saying, who are the people that get the land? Only those that are. Oh, a second. Only
those that understand.
Only those that understand. Only those that understand.
Very tricky thing to say that.
Yeah. But it's true.
Yeah,
it was true originally. It was true at the very beginning.
Still a tricky thing.
Who
to say.
Are? The, one second.
Because no one holds you there.
Who were the people? Forget us. Let's look in the Torah. Who are the people?
Outside of Israel, you say this to them, and it's insulting.
Why is it insulting? See, okay, we can say it. We're all among friends. Why is it insulting?
Because you're telling people.
I'm not telling them.
No, people that are.
I just read a Sforno.
Are immersed in this and think they get it.
And then it's like, slap. No, you don't really get it, because if you really got
so
it...
So arrogant. Right, it's so arrogant of us. We are no, so arrogant. It's true,
I
we are arrogant.
I spoke last Friday night to MMY girls.
You did? You spoke to them?
I did. I was an original MMY girl.
Did you hit them hard?
I did.
Good.
I'm so proud of
them. Oh, excellent.
I said, you know, because we were supposed to speak about why we made aliens and stuff like that.
See, MMY is one of those few schools that still does this, which is why their members are drilling. But, you know what I'm saying? You know.
So I said... You know, that I really, at a certain point in my life, came to the belief, which I still believe in, that the Holocaust was very horrible, etc. And then a few years later, God, in his whatever way, said kind of, I'm sorry, here I'm going to give you a chance.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to give you a chance, and I'm going to give you something, a present. And then after 120 years, am I going to go up and they say, Tipitem Li Yeshua? I don't think that that's the question that they're going to ask, that he's going to ask anymore. He's going to say, did you do something to bring the Yeshua? And I'll be able to say, yeah, I came and tried to build Israel. Mm-hmm. As I feel he kind of said, you've been davening so much for Geula. Here, I'm going to give you a first step. Let's see what you do with it. So all the people who are back there have decided...
Good for you, Mimi.
Right.
Yeah, but I said you could vote in a helicopter.
That's something Mimi said they fundamentally disagree with.
What's something what she said?
They fundamentally disagree that it's the result of that it was the first step of the
people
effort.
Not anymore.
No, that's not. It's not. That's Alzheimer's stuff.
That's
it's really.
No.
They don't disagree. No, there's no ideological disagreement. It's not like, oh, you're wrong. It's more like. Right.
No.
We don't. It's not.
When we were getting ready to make Aliyah, I'm like, you know, Israel, da 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 da. And they were like, no. It'll be obvious to us, you know, it's not the beginning of their life.
All
right.
Anyone who's really intellectually honest, you can't.
I don't think that ideological argument washes anymore. It's not like, you know, nobody today argues on ideology. We're not like, oh, I fundamentally disagree with building the state of Israel. Even if, like, the way you know this is, even the Haredi press, when you read the Haredi press.
It has a lot of Zionist.
Very Zionist. It really is about this. We're supporting Israel and we're in favor of Israel. Like, it changed over time.
But it's not the government that it supports.
So what? But it's still, we're not talking about moving here for the government. You're talking about living here. As a Jew in Eretz Yisrael. I don't care how you say it.
But I think there's a problem with this way of looking at it. Meaning, first of all, there's the arrogant part. But on a greater level, meaning everyone should be... There's no Gula without Eretz Yisrael. There's no... I'm saying, there's an ideological problem with saying it's not one of the Arba Lashonot Gula. Because that is Gula. There's no such thing as Chetzi Gula.
It's not my phone.
That you're outside of Israel, that's Gula. No way. It's...
What did Ramban? Excuse me. What did the Ramban say? What's Geula?
What did he say?
Ramban, the Hakdama to the Torah, to the Sefer Shemot, says Geula is, and this is true. And I think one of the criticisms that the Haredim have on us is, you all think that when you got to Eretz Yisrael, you did everything you were supposed to do. You were redeemed.
No,
and the answer is that's not true.
No, there's not a Beit Mikdash yet. We don't say that enough,
because our our press. Is all about land, and it was a big mistake.
For sure, that's a big mistake.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? We don't say that enough, because the Ramban says, when is Geula? Geula is when the Shechina is amongst the Jewish people.
Barum. But without being in Eretz Yisrael, you can't even get there. Meaning, how can we say it's not one of the Lashona?
Yeah. Okay. Everybody okay? All right, fine. I don't know. That's, you know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, I don't like this. Oh, it's the ones who are good can come here. They understand.
Not the ones who are good. We didn't say good or not. We did not say good. The ones
who understand.
I don't say it. I didn't say it. I didn't say it. Svorno said, "Kasher titbonenu b'chol zeh." When you understand that it's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is redeeming you, and it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who took you out, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu made you into a nation, to you re'uyim, you will be worthy. Shaviyachem l'aretz. So now somebody in Chutz Laaretz listening to this will say, "We're not worthy." Because if I were really worthy, he would bring me.
It's an excuse.
That's what he would
exactly.
say.
That's
like a kliyakar.
That's what I'm trying to say.
But you understand, I just want to point out in this study in the Chumash, and that you can always learn this another way, but in the kliyakar, it's important to understand in the Chumash how the Mefarshim are struggling with this issue. Struggling with the four versus the five. And this debate of the four versus the five is Veheveti, a language of Geula, or it is a conditional on the other languages of Geula. This is not a new debate. This is a historic debate. This is a debate in the Chumash, it's a debate in ideology, and it's a debate in the real world.
Where was Sfarno living at the time he wrote this?
Italy.
Spain.
Italy. Sfarno was Italian. I think. One second. Sforno. Yeah. Avad Yerbin Yaakov. I don't know. I have to check. But somebody.
He's outside of Israel.
Right now, if I'd ask one of my students, I'd say, go on Wikipedia and check for me. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
It's down.
What?
It's down.
Wikipedia is down?
24 hours.
Never. No, how are we going to function? Okay. Kliyakar. But safety be salty, but it's probably to convince people to donate. Kneged Dalit Dvarim Sha'avru Alehem. So why is there four languages? Of the four things. You have to follow inside. Oh, you guys don't have Kliyakar. Okay. Shneamar, as it says. Kiger yezaracha hareha gerut. You are ger, okay. Ba'aretz lo lahem. In the language it is not theirs. Arei richuk hashchina. That is the distance of the shchina. Ki hadar b'chutz la'aretz domer ki ilu ein lo eloha. Right? If you live in chutz la'aretz, it's as if you have no God. These are not things that I'm making up. You know what I'm saying? You find it?
Yeah, Ovadia Sforno.
Yeah.
According to Rav Ovadia Sforno, about 1475 to 1550, Hayam Chachmei Italia B'meir.
Italy, got it right. Okay. V'samach richuk shchina legerut, right? Richuk shchina, distancing of the shchina, is connected to ger. Ger yezarecha be'atam, you will be a ger. Ki habah talya. Okay. Because they're conditional, the one or the other. Shirichuk hashchina nimshach min hagerut. Shiug gerim b'chutz la'aretz b'makom b'chuk shchina. It says, when you're separate, when you're outside, when you're a ger, in Eretz lo lahim, that's what Avram said, you will be distanced from the shchina. Va'avadun, you will worship them. Zavar nosaf ala gerut. Right? Min, it says, Avram, Hashem said to Avram Avinu, your children, ger yezaracha be'eretz lo lahim, va'avaydum v'inu otam arba'ama otshana. Okay, there are four galiyot. So if they're going to be four galiyot, then there have to be four geulot, four redemptions. Kistam ger eno ever the fachot. V'inu otam, and the language they will be afflicted, the davar nosaf ala havdu. It's an additional slavery. Kistam eved eno animoto chinam. You don't afflict your avadim. You don't afflict your avadim for a very simple reason. You want them to work. Why would you gain by making your slaves suffer? Okay? And God wanted to save them little by little. So originally he saved them from the most dangerous thing, ha'inui. Okay, that's v'hoteiti, from the suffering. Ki ha'sivlut, the suffering, ha'inu ha'inui. K'mo she'enemar, l'man anoto b'siblotam. And then, v'achakach yitzilam, gam min ha'avdut. And then he saved them from the second thing, Eved. And that's the second one, the Hitzalti. V'hachakach yitzila min hakal shebekulam v'hu ha-gerut. And then he saved them from being a ger, from being a stranger. And then he says, v'ga'alti. Kistam ger ein lo go'el, k'lo sh'ne'amar v'im ein lo esh go'el. V'lefi shemin ha-gerut nimsash siluk shchina. Okay? And for because of this reason, ki mitam zeh utzrach la'asmich al ha-gerut ma'amar be'eretz lo lahem ha-more al siluk ha-shchina. Le'umat zot, corresponding to this, Amar, kan shebitul ha-gerut yizku le'dibuk shchina. When the gerut is removed, they would have the shchina back. And that's why it says, v'lakachti etchem li'la'am, v'ayiti lechem l'elohim. Okay, I'll take you as a nation. Likuchin mamash kiderech gever be'alma. Literally, like a marriage. And as we all know, Har Sinai is like a marriage. But then he goes the following. V'ya'an. And because, here I am. See where I am? The left-hand side? Right there. V'yan, a little above. Ki hadar b'chutz la'aretz ki ilu ein lo eloha. One who lives in Eretz, chutz la'aretz, as if he does know God. Al kein amar kan v'ayiti lachem le'elohim. Okay? And it says, v'lakachti achem li la'am, v'ayiti lachem le'elohim, etc., etc., and I will be for you a God. That's part of it. V'ayidei dibuk zeh, and because you will cling to God, v'yidatem ki ha'motzi atchem mitachas livli mitzrayim, you will know that I took you out of God. Okay? V'achar kach, pirush lekuchim elo, and then it explains, be'amro, v'heveiti etchem el ha'aretz. So what does he say? He answers our question the following way. The Kliyakar is very deep. He says, how many Lashono Gula are there? Four. V'otzeiti, b'yitzalti, v'lega'alti, v'lakachti. But the fourth one of v'lakachti is a long one. And he says, v'lakachti, how do I explain v'lakachti? How do I make to you, me, a God? One, you will know that I am God. And two, I will bring you to the land. There is no vilakachti without me bringing you into the land. What's that?
Like the civil words, like to where?
It's part and parcel of, right, to where? It's part and parcel of vilakachti.
Out and not be brought in. Vilakachti, I took you out.
You can't be free if you don't have a land.
See, understand how he's struggling with the same, meaning every Perush is struggling with the same. What do you do with Vehveti? What happened to Vehveti? So we saw Svorno. Svorno says, Vehveti? Maybe, if you deserve it. Comes along Kli Yakar and says, what's Vehveti? Of course Vehveti. But it's not a language of Geula. Vehveti is part of Vilakachti. It's not. It's inherent. It's part and parcel of. Why? Because this language keeps coming back. Because you can't have Vilakachti without Eretz Yisrael.
Well, what about Benatati? There's also Benatati.
Ota, that's the land of Israel. Vehveti etchem. Vilakachti etchem. Benatati will give it to you. What? We did what?
We did worship God in the Midbar. We were His nation. We were recognizing.
Nice try. The, keep it up. Yeah.
Recognizing God's role in our nation and that He took us out and that now we are free people. And meaning, it happened that way. We didn't need Geula for them to be a nation of God. They accepted the Torah. They worshipped it.
You're saying that a nation that accepted the Torah at Har Sinai is a complete nation? Meaning, are you done? Right. Now what?
Maybe not done, but they were His people.
Meaning, are they done? Is that it? Is that enough?
That's what the Geula.
Is that Geula? Is that redemption? Meaning, you're asking yourself, is the fact that Hashem took them to Eretz Yisrael after Har Sinai? If Har Sinai is the pinnacle, then why did He leave?
Because you can't live in
the desert. Why not? Sure you could.
Why?
Of course you could.
How's that Geula, though?
You could live in the desert, couldn't you?
Not Geula.
That's so hard. That's Gan Eden. We've reached... Yet, what?
Some people do it.
Well, right.
Especially if you're protected against food at the door.
That's right. I mean, if God could do anything, and that's the ultimate, and that's what we're supposed to achieve, stop. Kind of like the Ramban says. That's why Kli Yakar says, no, that's not enough. Yes, it's a process. It's part of the process. But Har Sinai was never the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal was... Shechina, Am, Eretz Yisrael. Together, Torah, all those things coming together. Okay? I mean, it's not... Again, the struggle is there. What do you do with that fifth Lashon? Is it inherent? Can I have it? Will I merit it? But everybody agrees that it's part of the promise. So you just... No. This is a book called Torah Shleima. Okay, I don't know how my blue book is because I've used it so much it fell apart. It's being downed. Okay, this book is written by, it's a well-known set, a very important set, written by a man named Rabbi Menachem Kasher. He actually lived in Israel and during World War I moved to New York. Okay, and then spent the rest of his life in Manhattan writing basically his books. Okay, and he wrote this book called Torah Shleima. He actually published it in a series. He published it like parsha by parsha. He used to buy it like book by book, sort of like a journal kind of thing. And then the end, now he never finished it. He didn't do Dvarim. He only finished through the end of Bamidbar. Which is a shame, because the beauty of it is he brings you the Midrashim over here, and his footnotes are just unbelievable. Like, if you want to know of any Midrash, or any Perush, or any whatever, like, if you want to know what are the variances on the Midrash of the Arba'al Lashonot Geula, so you look at, like, Namem Zayin, and he starts quoting you, like, there's a gazillion variances on this. So you're going to see a Midrash that's going to talk about Vehevehti. But in the end, he also has an essay on the four languages of Geula. And he asks you the very obvious question, what about the fifth Lashon of Geula? So you'll just like to know that there's a huge debate, a halachic debate, among the poskim, not accepted, but a theoretical debate, how many cups of wine are you supposed to drink on Pesach? And it shouldn't surprise you to know that there were opinions, at least according to the Midrashic opinion, Mishnaic opinion, that there were five. Not four, right? And what? Four started up. And you already know that there's a fifth one. Where is there a fifth cup? Right. So there's... What? There's a kosher Miriam? That's an orange. It's an orange. Okay. So the fact that even in our Seder, there's this hint of this cup. There's this cup, but you don't drink it. You know what I'm saying? So he quotes already. He says, you should know, he says, there's four cups of wine, but he says, you should just know, like, in many poskim, they say, the fifth cup of wine is optional. If you want to say Halel HaGadol, you could drink a fifth cup at Halel HaGadol.
Halel Hagadol is the Halel of Geula. Right, and obviously, it's corresponding to this language of the fifth cup. And he says in Surah, I saw what he said. I didn't highlight. He says in Surah, which is one of the great academies in Bavel. Okay, they didn't drink, and in Pumbedita they did drink a fifth cup of wine. So you just know that before the tradition solidified itself around four cups, there was a tradition that there was a fifth cup of wine. That this idea of four lashon hara geula wasn't always four. Some opinions, some very strong opinions, there was five. Okay? And why, of course, what are the Ramazim? Okay, one second. Rabbi Tarfon Hayam Mevi says the following. It's Kotei B'Shem HaYerushalmi. Rabbi Tarfon Hayam Mevi Kos Chamishi Keneged Behaveti. Okay? And the Vekach Hera Behagada Nusach Teiman. If you look in Teimani Nusach, okay, you'll see. Okay? Harei Mefurash Rabbi Tarfon Sover. Rabbi Tarfon Held. Rabbi Tarfon is the Tana and the Mishnah. Sheikar HaTakana Haita Chamesh Kosot Keneged Behaveti. Right? This was obviously this debate that we're having, right? In the time of the Mishnah, they were having this debate. What?
If that's Rav Tanani, how many kosot do you have?
If he has four, it's clear we've solidified around four. But ask him in the old versions, like what does he do with the Heveti if he has a nusach that accepts this notion of a Heveti?
Certainly, when the Beit HaMikdash is built, we'll have to have a fifth and change the whole thing.
I don't know. Or you'll say, V'lakachti, the fourth cup is a long cup. You know, the fourth cup is a Halel HaGadol. Mm-hmm. That's why you have the fourth cup. What is the fourth cup? It's the final redemption. You know, like there's a debate. What are the four Galuyot? Like, this whole thing is shrouded in four or five. Like, you know, is it Mitzrayim, Paras, Madai, Yavan, Edom? Or Mitzrayim, Yavan, Paras, Madai. Is that one? Chel, Paras, Madai. Yavan, Edom.
And
some say Gog u'Magog. You know what I'm saying? The final, like, you know what I'm saying? Nobody knows. Are there four Gog, you know, Galuyot, five Galuyot? There's four or five. It continues. And one gets the sense very strongly, like we talked about before you got here, Mimi. We're speaking a different language. Like Rabbi Tarfon is screaming at the top of his lungs, what about Behaveti? What about Behaveti? And everyone's like, yeah, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, and we're just talking in different directions. How do you explain to somebody something that's so obvious to you that they simply can't appreciate, can't understand? Like, what's the difference? Like, okay, would you rather live on, and this gets, like, would you rather live on Slobodka Street in the middle of Lakewood? Or Slav on Yad Binyamin. You know what I'm saying? Where would we rather live? And the fact that that's even a question is so disturbing to me. I don't know an answer anymore, because once you cross over into the land of the crazies and you start speaking our language, once you cross over, you can no longer, the conversation is no longer a conversation, because they just tune you out. I just tune you out.
I remember. Like, you don't even, like, I know, I don't even, first of all, it's like you said, it's insulting, but it's like, if they don't get it, like,
what are you going to say?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then, the problem, of course, becomes, then we stop saying it, because since we stop saying it, because, like, you know, it's like, you know, broken record. Right, falling on deaf ears. And of course, people only listen to people that, you know what I'm saying, like, you know, this is the second week in a row that we're talking about some of the parshas here, and if I was listening to this in America, right, at some point, next week we won't do a dynasty thing. Right, you know, like, I can't take it anymore. Because it's so hard, like, I'm tired of being told that, like, I'm a moron. You know what I'm saying? I didn't say that. You know what I'm saying? I'm tired of being told that.
You could open it to somebody and go, oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, you would hope. Well, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know.
Malay.
You never know.
Sometimes we hear something, like, 20 times and, like, the 21st time.
True, but very few and far between are the people that are listening at the 21st time. Because the dissonance is such.
Then it goes back.
People ask me, like, you know, before we made Aliyah, the people ask me, like, I did not push it hard when we were making Aliyah, because everybody knew we were moving to Israel, and I didn't, like, you know, and they didn't want me to hear, they didn't want to hear it over and over again. Like, and, you know, because...
It's much better than a speech.
What?
To move. It's much better than a speech.
Right, but it's very difficult, it's painful to hear, like, you know what I'm saying? To hear you should go, and to know you should go. At some point, you just say to yourself, like, you have to shut it off. Because you can't live all the time with that sense of...
I found that when we told people we were making Aliyah, everybody was very apologetic. Oh, we wish we could. Right. Let me explain to you why we can't, right? Everybody...
Oh, I got something different. Something similar but different. The other one I got often was, well, how are you going to make a living?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And the reason that they do that was because...
It was the same thing. We would, but...
Right.
So my job doesn't allow me.
There was a great article
in
Macquarie Shum this week about the, it's not a thing new, the crisis of paying for Jewish schools in America.
In America.
I was just thinking, that's their issue, but that is what they're
doing. I don't know, but they do it, but they don't think of that as a crisis. They don't think of, like, I try to say to people, yeah. I really try to say, you know, like, okay, we all struggle financially,
no,
right? But you make a lot less money here, they're undeniable. But they kill themselves just to pay tuition. You know what I'm saying? They just kill themselves. So if you're going
to
kill yourself anyway, right? And it's not even right. Anyway, so we started with Chumash and Emdei Chumash. This debate, this issue of Heveti, we saw it in the text. We saw the four Lashon of Geula. We saw that there weren't four; there were five. We saw a bunch of Mefarshim from the Kli Yakar to the Sforno. We didn't even do our Chaim, who struggled with this issue. What about the fifth language of Geula? And this debate that begins with the Chumash. It continues to this day. How could people not see that Heveti at the Haaretz is part of Velakachti? And that without it, Velakachti is incomplete. Stop here. Okay.